Father Cedric Prakash, an Indian Jesuit priest and committed human rights activist, is the Regional Advocacy and Communications Officer of the Jesuit Refugee Service, JRS, for the Middle East and North Africa, MENA region, based in Beirut, Lebanon. Belonging to the Gujarat Jesuit province of India, Father Cedric has been until recently the director of Prashant, a Jesuit center for human rights, justice and peace, which he founded in 2001 in Ahmedabad. He has been at the forefront on issues related to human rights, justice and peace, and other advocacy matters for which he has been honored in India and abroad. Notable among these honors is the knighthood from the Legion of Honor, one of France's highest civilian awards given in 2006. Father Cedric was recently on a visit to the Jordanian capital, Amman, in his capacity as the Regional Advocacy and Communications Officer for JRS MENA. We managed to catch up with him on his mobile phone to know about his new assignment. Today, in the first of a two-part interview, we began by asking him about the switch from Director of Human Rights Center Prashant in Ahmedabad, India, to the Jesuit Refugee Service in the Middle East.
Yeah, thank you for this question. I think it needs a long and elaborate answer, very briefly. I was always inspired by Father Pedro Arupe, the Superior General of the Society of Jesus. When I joined the Jesuits in 1974, in 1980, he began the Jesuit Refugee Service as a response to the hundreds and thousands of boat people in Vietnam, Cambodia, and so on. And since, because, in a way, one of my great icons in my life has been Father Pedro Arupe, and the work the Jesuit Refugee Services was doing all over the world, I was always attracted to at least spend some time of my Jesuit life with the JRS. The invitation came a little over a year ago, when I was invited by the then international director, Father Peter Bullis, to join the JRS. I came in July in 2015, saw the work here in Lebanon, because they were keen that I work in the Middle East. Went through a long process of discernment. It was very difficult to leave my work in Ahmedabad, Gujarat, India, because I know I was engaged in rather significant work there. But then I couldn't say no to the call of God. So how it took place and why it took place, I think only God knows best, but I'm here and very, very happy that I've accepted this assignment to work here in the JRS in the Middle East.
Could you explain your responsibility, Father? This region, how vast is this region, MENA, Middle East and North Africa? Am I right?
Yes, this region is rather vast. It covers effectively five countries, Lebanon, in which we have to be thousands of refugees. We have Syria, which is one of the big conflict zones of the world. We have Iraq, where we still have hundreds and thousands of internally displaced people. We have Jordan. We have lots of refugees from all over, including Sudan and Somalia here, just now here in Amman and other parts of Jordan. And we have Turkey. We have some small works going on. Now, basically, it's a vast region covering effectively five countries. And my role as Advocacy and Communication Officer is to see what are the issues, advocacy issues that need to be highlighted, which need to be taken up at a different fora, in which, in a way, we need to do advocacy work, maybe with the media, with other like-minded individuals and groups, with concerned governments and so on. And how do we communicate the reality of the people here? In the last few weeks since I've been here, I met literally hundreds of people, refugees, and some of them are really suffering very, very much.
Since you've transferred to Beirut, how many refugee centers have you visited with regard to the work of JRS?
See, I visited several of them. Maybe, I think, at least 25 of them cutting across various countries. I have not visited Turkey, but all the other countries. Many of them are internally displaced people. They are living in makeshift shelters. They are living in illegally rented apartments, you know, because there is no place for them to go. They are living in big dormitories. They are living in out in the open in the fields. They are living in officially recognized refugee camps, okay? But not all of them are living in that because of other hassles and difficulties they have to face. I've visited several, as I said earlier, I've met hundreds of refugees. Listen to them, even here in Amman, Jordan, I was listening to the very, very difficult and traumatic tales of many people, refugees here from different parts of the world.
What are some of the urgent issues that need to be tackled immediately in order to come closer to these people, the displaced and the refugees, Father? You have mentioned some of them, housing, maybe also water, sanitation. But above all, I believe they also need some sort of an employment locally.
Yes. Now, while some countries do give them, say, refugee status, they do not give them the possibility of seeking employment. And now this creates many, many serious problems. They don't give them the access to formal education. You know, the sense of including them, and this is what Pope Francis has always been speaking about. We need to include them into the mainstream of society. We need to accept them. We need to warmly welcome them. While there is a very, very reluctant, and it is in a way understandably so, kind of, you know, you can come and live in our country, but that's all. But you have to live, you know, literally under house arrest. You have to live in designated camps. You have to live in designated shelters. And you're monitored all the time. And whenever possible, we may even send you back to your country. And this, you know, has been happening. So what I said and what you have put also in your question, it is definitely food, access to food, this whole quest of survival, to safe and clean drinking water, to sanitation, to medical care. I've seen people suffering, but they have no money to buy the medicine, you know. And it's a reality. There is a need for education, access to formal education. There is a need for employment. And above all, there is the need and importance for integration into a new society, because many of them, you know, just find it impossible to go back to a place which they once called their home.
In your various visits, do you have any particular story, Father, that has touched you most? One of resilience, one of courage, one of not giving up despite the worst in the world?
Yeah, I listened to a very, very painful story yesterday. I will not name the country from which this lady comes for obvious reasons. And she was sent out. She came with her husband in most difficult conditions. They already had three daughters, a very, very young woman. And she came here. She was pregnant. She delivered in a most painful condition, the fourth daughter. And then she literally had to undergo an operation. The doctors did it without her consent. Her husband just left her literally high and dry with a newborn baby with three other girls. And then, okay, she was, I think, a woman of tremendous amount of grit, of determination. People have been helping her to find jobs. At each of the jobs she finds, you know, the first thing people, you know, want to exploit her, want to abuse her, you know. And she just runs away from that reality. So the whole system is against her. She does, she's hardly accepted. She cannot come out of the house. She has no money to buy food and even diapers for the little children. And it's absolutely traumatic. A place there is no room in the inn. But it's not only physical. It is even there is, you know, she's always in shock. She's always in trauma. I went with two people who, from the organization that we are working with to visit her. And it's an absolutely painful story, you know. I just had tears in my eyes listening to what this young woman, but she's not giving up. She is a woman of grit and determination. And she's determined to give her four daughters, her little daughters. One just came and held me, you know, wanting the warmth of her. Of maybe a man in that house. You know, literally nowhere to go, even afraid to go out of the little apartment she rents. The landlord is threatening to evict her. and she may have to be in the streets in a little while. And this is definitely her reality. But I've listened to several other stories in the last weeks that I've been in and around these countries of sheer grit, of determination, stories of suffering, of pain, of trauma, but also stories of resilience, of hope, of everybody wanting a newer and better tomorrow.
That was the first of a two-part interview with Indian Jesuit priest Father Cedric Prakash, the Regional Advocacy and Communications Officer for JRS in the Middle East. Tune in the same time next week for the final part of this interview. This has been The Background, a weekly feature on the life of the Catholic Church around the world, brought to you by Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.